Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
May I ask how many of you have been taking part in the Youth Ministry Network? Four of you have been there? No? This shows me the importance of having these opportunities in the workshops to dig into certain parts that one would think it's typically youth work or typically the Media Communicators Network, but it's actually for all of us. Either we are involved in church work among young people, we may be grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, whatever. We have these young people around us as part of what our calling should focus at. Welcome. So even though it's focusing on youth ministry, it's focusing on you and me walking alongside the young people today. And of course, young people today, they are desperate if they are not online. So home is really where the Wi-Fi connects automatically. Media is larger than life, so to speak. We can envision this room as being our daily life, and then it would be a tapestry here with audio and visual images, because it's all over. We live in this media-saturated world, all of us, but of course especially the digital natives, those who don't know of any situation whatsoever where there is no cell phone, no television set, no sound coming from the radio or a podcast or whatever. You know, these digital natives of ours. Two media critics say that digital natives nowadays, they are digital from head to toe, at home and on the go, which means they are what you know them to be, in the media world at the same time as they are in your world, in our world. And gradually, all over the world, most of the stories that surround the younger generation, those who we call digital natives because they have born after the advent of this digital technology, they get the stories via the cell phone, don't they? Anyone having any idea how large percentage of young people in the Western world, age 10 upwards, own a cell phone, their own cell phone? Any idea?
100%.
Not 100, not 90, but between 60 and 70 now. But it's rising and rising and rising, and it's rising all over the world. I had the privilege of teaching in Uganda, Kampala, Uganda, for 3 weeks before Easter, and I shouldn't be surprised because I know it, you know, in my head. And I've been to Peru, Madagascar, other countries over the last years, and I see how this is spreading all over. Still, I was really struck by the fancy smartphones, how well equipped the young people in Uganda are. And I rejoiced with the church in Uganda asking for some advice. Not that we come from Norway and as if we have all the answers. No, that we have for quite some time felt the struggle. And in order to be true to our calling as Western Christians, we have to reach out and integrate in our mission work the media awareness, especially when it comes to helping the younger generation to deal with all these stories that are literally at hand. This is the main platform for all the stories, so they are literally at hand. And how then to decode, how then to understand, how to make sure that we can analyze to a certain extent what's going on around us. I said that I'm associate professor at a small university college, Christian, that is, in Norway. And for quite a long time, I have been working with what Mia Loewheim, a well-known sociologist, now says. And you can imagine, I say, yeah, at last, one of the big ones, the great guys, no, female, has come to the conclusion that we have seen in our Christian work for such a long time, that the media has an enormous influence on the worldview formation of the younger generation. I rejoiced, of course I did, because as soon as a well-known sociologist says something that is in line with what we have been, you know, pointing at for quite some time, they listen to us as well. So I got invited to a large conference in Amsterdam in April due to the work we have been doing, because all of a sudden, oh, that's very interesting. I'm sure you have been in such situations many times, or maybe you have the opportunity or ability to bring your own work to the big tables in the first place. I don't think so, because we are Christian. But we are called to be out there in the academy with integrity. But we can't force our views on anyone, but we should back them up with real research. So, without question, the media plays an important role when it comes to religious socialization in our culture. That's her view, that's our view, that's why we are here. I tease my husband, he's Swedish. So he says, oh, okay, Lars, wherever I go, whatever topic, I can always find a Swede saying something either very clever or something that we could have a good laugh. This is clever. Ola Sigurdsson, a media critic, says that it is as if the films and the other stories in popular culture provide us with a script on how to live our lives. You know this. I know this. But I think we need a backup from research so that when your fellow workers in your church say, oh no, don't you bother with these stories, they are just entertainment. Or when they say, unholy, we shouldn't touch it. Then you are backed up both from the Bible, who says that we are in the world, not of the world, but we are called to share the gospel where we are and relate to the stories around us. That is a paraphrase, but you know what I mean. That's what Paul did in Athens. That is what we do. We have to relate to the stories. And therefore, if you would like some quotes later on, maybe the PDF of the PowerPoints, I can gladly hand them over, if you feel like needing some backup for yourself in your own work. And I would be very happy to have some more backup from you. What we are, and who we are, what we know, and how we act in the world are all experiences now lived out as electronic and digital mediated life. We can't escape. And I say we, and we are different ages in this group as well. We can't escape, and the younger people don't know of any other world than this of the digital, I'm Norwegian, the English isn't my mother tongue, bear with me, and if I really sound strange in the way I try to explain things, say, hello, what are you trying to say now? Maybe you should switch to Norwegian, that would be better, and then Siri could translate. Anyway, is that okay with you? And also, I forgot to say, I like it to go back and forth. So I may just ask questions in the middle of the presentation, or you just raise your hand or shout out, ask question comments, and not leave everything for the very last 20 minutes. So that, I'm sure that's okay with you. The concept of mediatization. Anyone who would like to explain that in your own words? Because it's very much related to the way we look upon ourselves, each other, our self-esteem, what life is all about, all those things that Sigurdsson says about the script And that Hoxman and Point says, but what is mediatization? It's a Danish researcher, Jarvad, who phrased this concept. He says that it's not just that the media is holding a strong, you know, grip on our daily life, but it's actually intervened in every fabric of our social life and of all the institutions, so that we as Christians and other religious people realize that religion is being mediated nowadays. So if we then move into our main focus now, how the stories, whether it's in Disney or other arenas, how they influence the young people's worldview formation, identity formation, socialization, we actually better have a close look at how is religion, how is Christianity portrayed, interweaved in the stories. That would be a very interesting lecture, and I have given that many times, but that's not what we are doing now. But that is part of the mediatization. So media takes some parts of Christianity and mold it. One might wonder how to distinguish between these stories that are actually real, you know, and the fictional stories. So there are many wonderful opportunities for us to link up, you know, wonderful ways of communicating and discussing. But if we move out from the opportunity that we have to relate to this in our walk with the younger people and just leave them alone, what sort of impact does that make on them? And how do they look at themselves? How do they look at religion, at Christianity, at the Bible, if it's all mixed together in this fictional theme park? That's just one part of what this is all about. But we mentioned Disney now, and Disney will be the case that we will dig into in a few minutes. But I just want you to have a look at this slide. Bearing in mind that there is a difference between education that is intentional and education that is not, what is the opposite? This is late afternoon for me as well. What is the opposite word? Intentional and thank you. I couldn't remember Okay, intentional education, sorry about that, and unintentional education. And please bear in mind, parents are still the most important people for the child. So what happens in the home is the most important thing. But if what the kids are being taught in Disney Junior, for instance, are stories that are totally unknown for the parents, how then can the intentional upbringing and teaching from the parents be really fruitful if the kids get a lot of other values from the stories in Disney Junior? You see the point, that's why you're here. So for instance, Disney Junior Norway, they have aired a very popular series called Small Potatoes. And at the end of one episode, all of a sudden, the big potato looks you in the eyes and said, remember, we are all but small potatoes. We are all equal. Nothing wrong in that. Of course, we know we are not potatoes, and the potato knows well that as well. But the point is taken. All of us are equally valued. Okay? We will relate to that and confirm that with Bible in hand. The old potato didn't stop there. He continued by saying, and therefore, no one can tell you what is right and wrong. You decide for yourself. And the echo, of course, an echo of so many other stories that are told in popular media and by real people. Decide for yourself. this postmodern world of ours. Individualism, subjectivism, decide for yourself. If then we take this really at face value, that these two, you decide for yourself, and no one can make your choices, and realize that that is all around us, and this audio-visual tapestry surrounding us in our daily life, if as parents you never address that, well, hopefully in church they will address it. Do they? Do they? There is an urge in the Sunday schools, in youth ministry, to listen carefully to the main values in the stories. I'm not saying that we should sit there watching everything, not at all, but we should know what are the main trends, the main values. As for Church versus Miley Cyrus, of course I had to take her due to the Hannah Montana story of hers, background of hers, and so many young people today know her as Hannah Montana, and they love her. And as Hannah Montana, she had quite a few very good values. Whereas now, what about the lifestyle? Do we listen to this and do we engage with it? In order to be true to our calling, I'm not saying that we should necessarily relate to Miley Cyrus, but the lifestyle of hers is so similar to the pressure that the youngsters in our congregations meet wherever they go, outside the church, outside your home. So we need to listen and relate to it. And then, of course, in the schools, we are not teachers here, but we should know what, if you have kids, what they are taught in school. Even me as an aunt, I want to know what my nephews and nieces are taught, because I want to relate to that. And I want to relate to that as a youth worker in my church. We just made a survey among youth workers in the whole diocese of ours back home in Norway. They came up with two needs, because they say, we don't have a clue and we don't have time to figure out what they are taught in school. We don't have the clue, we don't have time to figure out what they are taught in the stories in the media. So please help us. Please help us do a survey and give us the key values that are being taught. And then please help us to answer the question, why Jesus in the midst of all these other pointers? We will do that, true to our calling. The Barna Group in the US, anyone from US here? Yes, volunteers, you are from the US. The Barna Group speaks for the American setting, but I know we are very much in the same boat in Norway, that whether we are in the churches or in the homes, we haven't been taught how to relate to the digital media, how to relate to the stories at all. What's here? Who is she? Elsa or Anna? Always a bit confusing. It's Elsa. And you can imagine this friend of mine, a theologian, a father, sitting there. There's no pen, but anyway, his daughter had a pen. She was supposed to write in a wonderful way, and she had the pen like this. And he sat down beside her, showing her how to hold the pen. You know what a pen is? Still know what a pen is? Yeah. And then, oh, sorry, thank you. Oh, that's so kind. I was just joking. We still know what a pen is. But she held it like that, and he wanted to teach her, do like this, so that you can write properly, you know? He just got this glance from her. No rights, no wrong for me. I'm free, Daddy. And he was shocked. I'm a theologian, he says. I know that she is very much into this Frozen. Oh, thank you, maybe you need the pen. Can you just pass it by? And then he got it right in his face. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. The well-known lyrics from Frozen. At this very point in the story, she has left them behind and she has really failed. But later on, she really takes on responsibility and she needs to control her power. But I think it's vital for us to understand the power of the lyrics in every story, in every film and television series, and how easily all of us take the lyrics, the music away, we take it out from the context, and then it lives its own life. And of course, if we are just to analyze this particular lyrics, isolated from the storyline, it's all about me. It's all about girl power or my power. It's all about individuality. It's all about setting my own rules and so on and so forth. You may have heard that the gay and lesbian organization in US immediately took these lyrics as their own. And we can understand that, and other groups that feel suppressed can feel that this is really a song for us. So 2 points here. Point one, never take it away from the storyline. Point two, people do that, and therefore we should pay a special attention to the lyrics, because they have a huge influence on our way of understanding the whole story, really. So that is not the daughter, that is actually the daughter of goddaughter, yeah. But she is one of thousands and thousands and thousands of Elsas, you know? And her parents have had to talk it over and over and over, what there's no right, no wrong for me mean. When I spend some time on Disney, it's actually, I have the privilege of spending some research time on Disney. I had the privilege of going to the Burbank Studios a year ago, interviewing a lot of people. This man actually celebrated his 30th, not birthday, but anniversary as being employed by Disney on that very day. And still he thought, oh, fantastic. Lady from Norway, she's interested in Disney? Of course I am, because it's a global agent. Of course I am, because I am involved with Mission, with the Lausanne Movement, Mission organization back home in Norway. I teach at a university college run by Christian organizations. Of course I am. And if you are not, I don't blame you, but if you need some reference points in the popular media area of the kids and young people, I think Disney would be quite good, because since they go all over the world, you see that their values are sort of getting global. So stories are us, whether you have them literally at hand or in the theme parks, or the toys, well, cartoons, whatever. And back to Frozen. Hashtag give Elsa a girlfriend a couple of weeks ago. Anyone who followed that discussion? But you wouldn't be surprised, would you? When you heard it? No. Because popular culture sort of mirrors the society it helps to create. That is just a fact. We can back that up with a lot of research. And of course, the earlier in life you can model an alternative way of living out your need for sexual, you know, relationship, the better. So as soon as Disney or any other agent will give a girlfriend to the main heroine, then we have broken that particular barrier as well. So there is a Frozen film on number two on its way. I think they'll actually go to Norway once again to do some of the shooting. I really wonder whether they will give in for the pressure or not. But what I do know is that they will definitely stick to this individual, subjective focus. It's me. And that has been the case from the very start. The Disney with the films are as old as my mother, so I keep teasing her. Mom, I'll always remember when Snow White came out on the screens, because you were born that year. And in Snow White, of course, Disney took this Danish Grimm or Danish variation or German variation of the Grimm folk tale and Disneyfied it so that you got this immediate value of happiness, innocence, joy, all-inclusive, you tolerant everyone from the very first film onwards. So that is a key aspect of Disney, drawing on folk tales and then molding it so that a wide audience, a global audience, won't feel offended, but will feel this is good values. But if you go a bit closer, you realize that there is something there that you need to challenge from a Christian point of view. They are mixed moral messages. Since I say post-1989, I may tell you why. Most of my research is focusing on the classic films from 1989 because they got a new CEO at the time. There was a new phase in Disney's history, and that marks a real change in how magic, faith, belief is being portrayed. From now on, you see that it's not just the magic coming from outside via a godmother, a fairy mother, godmother or whatever. But in, for instance, Lion King, you find the strength in you, the spiritual strength in you. So at the same time as you have this DNA code of Disney all the way along, with all these values that we cherish and embrace, you find other values that are more postmodern. So there is a sort of a tension in the actual stories. Family values are important, but disobey authority if needed. For instance, if you go to Mulan, the Chinese one, you should think that, okay, China, the collective, the family, these very important values. And Mulan ending up with saying, actually, I thought I came here to save my father, but maybe what I really wanted to do was to prove I could do things right. I could do things right. So it's a mixture between Western individualism and the collective reach out, stay with your family. There is absolutely a value put on responsibility. Take on responsibility. But at the same time, follow your heart. Both Pocahontas and Mulan, from the 90s onwards, they are quite eager to bend the rules if it's better for them to follow their own heart. And when you get the lyrics, we are back to the lyrics again, in Mulan, anyone remembering a key line if you have watched Mulan from the lyrics? No, and this is late afternoon on the very last day anyway. Your heart can never be wrong. Listen to your heart, follow your heart, because your heart can never be wrong. That is an echo of what we meet all over, what I meet as a 55-year-old. Your heart can't be wrong, Morgan. You know, think of yourself first. Truth is important, truth is culturally known, meaning that in many of the stories, all since 1937, they value that there is truth to be found and you should fight for the truth. But at the same time, since 1989, you see more and more often that truth is what the individual finds. We've already related to that, haven't we? The relativism. Communication is key to overcoming problems, or the magic of the heart overcomes problems. The magic of your heart. Hercules, any of you men who have fancied Hercules? He had to go back to the gods because he felt lonely. That's a wonderful thing. We will connect to that. We are not created for being on our own. We need relationship. At the same time, you find a real syncretism of the gospel, bits and pieces from the Christian gospel, molded or mingled with the Greek gods. So follow your heart, but really, be sure that there is, the magic of the heart overcomes the problems, and that may be a spiritual way of doing that. So the Disney gospel, to put it very much like Mark Pinsky does, it's a bit strong, but anyway, I have it in inverted commas. My dreams, my will, when you wish upon a star, your dreams comes true, because the Disney Bible just have this one verse, that is it. It's very strongly put, and I don't line completely with Mark Pinsky, but he has a lot of valuable insights. And I see in my own research that this me is there all the time. And Pinocchio, he had that out loud immediately. That was the second film. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. So if only you have your heart in your wish, that will come true. And remember then, your heart in your wish. And how? How will the wish become true then? There will be an intervention from outside, something magical taking place. That was in Pinocchio and in very many other stories, whereas now, Lion King, for instance, you find it in yourself. So it's faith in something, something magical from outside, or something spiritual in yourself, but you as an individual need to have the heart beating, you know, and go for it. Very individualistic, as we hear. Good is always rewarded, evil is always punished. Wonderful, we can line up with that. Faith is an essential element, faith in yourself. Okay, even more faith in something greater than yourself, some higher power. Optimism and hard work complete the basic canon. To expand a bit on the Disney gospel. As Christians, from a Protestant or at least evangelical strand, of course we evaluate the individual. We have to say yes to Jesus on an individual basis, you know? And we evaluate hard work and have a focus. All of these values, we embrace them, but just to a certain point. We can also relate to, if we want to, and I will come to that in a few minutes, a higher power coming from outside. God is not part of us. He lives in us with the Holy Spirit because we believe and have received Jesus. But something coming from outside, yeah? We can relate to that, but it's a different story. So the Disney gospel sort of has a lot of elements that we can relate to from a Christian point of view and say, yeah, that's true, but also a lot of tensions. So what they do now in Disney is alternating between the more modern ideology that have a lot of Christian values intertwined in it, and the postmodern. So I think that makes it a bit harder. My parents were a bit hesitant towards having us look at Disney because everything in popular culture was supposed to be sinful, full stop, when I was a kid. But they realized that there are so many good values in Disney, so they sat down with us and we could talk about these. And I think a lot of grandparents now get a little, a small shock, or maybe a great shock, when they realize that there is so much mingled together now that it's much harder to relate to the stories. I mean, from the bottom of my heart that if we are to be true to our calling in youth ministry today, we need a worldview approach to these stories. You have it in the outline, and we will go very quickly to tensions and comparisons. But being at ELF without giving one's own sort of definition of worldview, that's impossible. No. There are worldview definitions all over at the ELF, and I'm not saying that this is the only one valid. There are so many valid definitions, but the reason for me relating to James Sawyer is the way he combines the story, that our worldview can be expressed as a story and as a set of presuppositions. So when we relate to the stories and the story of the Bible, the biblical worldview, we can, when we use this, easily relate to the stories in the different fictional stories in popular culture. So I find it very useful, really. And therefore, we can ask, how do we interpret? How do we communicate? And how do we come alongside the young people? We can do that with a worldview approach. And now I know I could have carried on for a long time, because that is one of my key competences in my work. I love working along the lines of worldview because it opens up wonderful opportunities for communicating, for relating, for relationships. But let me just be quick. I have glasses. Some of you have glasses. All of us have in this worldview sense of the word. How to interpret? If you are aware of the fact that no one is neutral and no story is neutral, you're already there with your worldview glasses on your nose. And it helps you. It helps you to relate for your personal sake to all the stories surrounding you. And it helps you as a youth worker, as a mom, dad, whatever, to talk with the kids and the young people about what's being communicated. And it also helps us to appreciate the fact that all worldviews are multifaceted. There are many layers there. There are values, there are a certain view of what it's like being human, there is a certain view of reality, of where we should lean. I mean by that where we find meaning and trust, what we can lean on. All these facets are in every single worldview, whether it's a religious or secular worldview. And that helps us when we relate to the stories, because the worldviews are there, bits and pieces in the stories. And of course, when we look at our own worldview, the Christian one, interpret it as a worldview, it's much easier, at least for me, to relate to my atheist in the neighboring house. Because he has a worldview, I have a worldview. Okay, let's see, do any of our values stick together, or are we wide apart in whatever we think and feel and mean? So we can view this, the worldview, as an iceberg. We relate to each other and we see how we live, we hear what we say, we make choices, all of that. That's how we get to know each other. And underneath, there are values, a view of what it's like being human, a view of reality, a view of where you find meaning and trust. So that an atheist can say, oh, I have atheistic faith. Why do I do this? What did Walt Disney say? Faith I have in myself, in humanity, and in the worthwhileness to pursue happiness for the masses. Faith. And so often in the stories in Disney, you hear faith. Have faith. In what? Yourself? Or in a fairy godmother? But first and foremost, in yourself. And having this approach then help you to decode what's going on in the Disney stories. But please remember, this so that you don't walk out and, oh, Morgan, she is such a worldview lady. She just goes straight into the worldview and she forgets about the beauty. She forgets about the emotions. She sort of forgets about everything but the worldview. I don't. It's the third level. Emotions, aesthetics, all the beauty. All the beauty is God's beauty. He has created us with the opportunity of creating beautiful things. And then the normative level. And if we had been here in a multi-worldview, pluralistic part, I would have said, so if you're a Muslim, please make sure that you evaluate the stories from your standpoint. If you're a Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, so the normative level is theological for us. So it gives us a wonderful platform for an informed cultural critique as well as qualified worldview critique. So one day they can listen to you and me, not just Mia Löwheim, when she talks about how the stories are influential on the worldview formation of young people. And Disney, being such a global agent, is a good case study for us. For instance, who am I? Well, listening to the stories of Disney, what would the answer be? A core question of every single young person and older. Who am I? What answers or what pointers to answers in Hercules? I said it a few minutes ago that he didn't want to be alone. So we need fellowship. Wonderful. We'll embrace that. Mulan, bending the cultural rules in order to follow her own heart. Pocahontas, not to think of how they made her a sensual, quite sexy 14-year-old, very different from the original legend, Indian legend. In Disney, very often the answer to who am I is linked to gender and to love. And to be a woman is very often linked to finding romantic love, whereas being a hero, a male hero, is to find yourself and then you find love. So it's not linked together. In Frozen, the heroines are quite different, even from the others after 1989, where you have a wonderful, we are given a wonderful explanation of a relationship between sisters and friendliness and not the sensual sexual love. That is wonderful. I just wonder how that will be explored in the next movie. But that is really good that we find something contrary to the romantic love as a solution for everything. But altogether, we may say it's my dreams and my will. Be kind, but be true to yourself. How often do our kids in school and in media hear, be true to yourself? The greatest sin, if we talk about sin at all nowadays, is not being true to yourself. And it's the same in Disney. Follow your heart, don't give up, you'll get rewarded. Is that true? No. We don't always get a reward. Have courage, have faith. You deserve to be happy. Very interesting then to compare these quick pointers to what we find as an answer for who am I in Disney and what are the dominant worldviews in our societies today. Existentialism, you choose your own identity. Postmodernism, you can change so that you keep choosing your identity. But first and foremost, be happy. When I entered Disneyland in L.A. last February, I really felt happy. Here you leave yesterday, you enter tomorrow with happiness. There are signs all over, and you feel happy. There's nothing wrong with what Disney wanted to do, giving a break from, you know, the sort of ordinary life. The wrong thing is if we think that life is all about happiness. That is not a true life. So how do we interpret and how do we teach with a worldview approach? How do we teach or communicate? If we use this worldview approach with the glasses, we actually get equipped to teach biblical faith as authentic, credible, and relevant when faced with influential media stories and values, because we can see what is linked together and what is contrary. It's a coherent worldview story. It sticks together. Over and over again here at ELF, we have been referred to the overall story of the Bible. That's a worldview story. And all worldviews have a story, but none of them are coherent in the way that the biblical story is. And then, of course, it's a historic worldview story. It happened in history, which means that in our daily life, it's relevant. In our struggles, all these young girls especially, sorry you men, but especially young girls, are struggling so much with identity issues. I know it's the case for male as well, but there is a tendency that young girls are extremely bothered by the question, who am I? And what models do they find in the stories surrounding them? Back again here, what model do they find? Is your sexuality the vital part of shaping your view of identity, sexual preferences? If in the next film, Elsa actually gets a girlfriend, that will be another layer on this awfully wrong perception that your sexual preference is key to your identity. Then Disney will move from another fallacy, saying that romantic sexuality is key to your identity. And under there again, they have said from the very start out, your gender is key to your identity and your self-worth. Please don't misunderstand me. It's key to you and me, whether we are female or male. But the bottom line is that we are created in the image of God as a human being. And then male or female. You see that? So in Disney, you very seldom, at least I haven't found it anywhere, a focus on your worth is first and foremost related to that you are human. You're not an animal. No, they skip that, and they have usually said it's linked to being female or male and linked to your sexuality and your preferences. This is so much an echo of what's going on in society, in education, all over. So if we don't relate to it, we are not true to our calling. You know, John Stott, we love him. And we love for him that he is with Jesus now. He has helped me a lot with this fourfold worldview approach, saying the creation, everything was perfect. The fall, the evil made an entrance and affected everything. Redemption, the new, and then the consummation, the perfect. It gives a framework to link everything. Everything. You can't do it now, but. And then thirdly, you're very quiet, by the way. No hands, no. Should I stop a bit? Maybe I should. I get so carried away because this is, I find it so important. You see, we have these interpretive resources with the glasses on. we have this, and then we ask, how do we, in educational way, how do we communicate? And then the main thing, how do we come alongside the youth of today? Relate to them closely. I mean that this fourfold approach helps us to do that. Influencing their personal growth so that they can actually grow. Because we do, as John Stott taught us and many others, we listen in this double way. We listen to the word and we listen to the world. So that every worldview, every faith is sort of a trust. And then the Christian faith is a trust, an anchor of meaning. And therefore we can compare and contrast. Where do Elsa find meaning? And what about me as a Christian? What is a privatization of faith and what is living it out loud? In so many stories, there is no pointer at all towards having a faith, a worldview, because it's privatized. That is a danger for us and for the younger generation not to stand out, to live as salt and light out there. We can help each other by this. And then, of course, where we will end, by making sure that this worldview formation is taking place in relationship to the stories in the media, in Disney, we can find points of contact and points of tension. And then, what are the traditional values that you immediately will confirm in Disney? You realize we are in this approach, so now we are in the third one. We walk alongside them, we sit down, watch Frozen or whatever, and we really wonder, thank you, we wonder, what are the values that we will embrace from our Christian worldview? So, of course, the needs and questions, we can relate to so many needs and questions that are obvious just underneath in the stories. The need for fellowship, the need for finding out who am I, the need for being evaluated, and so on. And also the implicit spiritual aspect, is there something spiritual here, or does it come from outside? And of course the tensions, but attention can always be changed into a wonderful point of contact. If we have the guts to reveal the tensions, we can then share what the biblical worldview says, what Christianity says. So what it means about human, as we touched on, the strong focus on individualism. Of course, we individually walk with Jesus, but we are not created to be on our own, and we don't decide for ourselves. We are under Jesus' sovereignty. And the understanding of tolerance, as we touched on, and the understanding of having faith, what that is all about. So if we can take this with us, how do we interpret every story in our own life personally, and how do we help the younger generation to interpret? Then we can actually communicate into their context, their world. If you get to know the media, you get to know them. That is a saying from a youth pastor called Walt Müller. If you get to know the media, you get to know them, because they are so much shaped with it or by it. And then you can also come along. And your hope and prayer, and my hope and prayer, is that just as Lucy in Narnia, when she meets Aslan again, and she says, "You are bigger." "No, you surely are." "I'm not. But for every year when you grow, I grow bigger for you, or to you." That is what we want to happen in our youth ministry, that Jesus becomes bigger for them, richer. The Lord. In order to do that, of course, we cannot do without God's help, the Holy Spirit, the prayer, as was so strongly preached to us this morning. But we are also called to work. Pray and work. And we should work on these stories or other stories that you find are very popular where you are.